Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast, and welcome to the guests that we have. A quote from Christian Apologetic Research Ministry. One of the signs of being a true Christian, besides believing in the true gospel, is experiencing a sense of freedom. We realize that we do not have to keep the law in order to please God. We realize that God's favor upon us is not dependent upon our obedience or our law keeping of God's laws. God's favor upon us is because of what Christ did on the cross. Therefore, we are free. My title this afternoon is, What Does It Mean to Have Freedom in Christ? Some of the quotes I'll be mentioning are from the September-October Good News of 1996. Jesus Christ spoke often about freedom that he would give to humankind. But what is the freedom that he promised his followers? According to Jesus Christ, a person cannot be spiritually free unless he has the truth of God, which is his word. Few have realized that the freedom that comes from understanding God's word. A few weeks ago, after the death of Billy Graham, many of the news reporters and magazines and radio talk show hosts referred to Mr. Graham as America's pastor, and others referred to him as a man who brought many people to Christ. We would strongly disagree with that statement. But as a kid growing up, I listened to Mr. Graham many times, and at the end of his program, we would hear the familiar song that would tell people to come up and give their heart to the Lord. And later we saw it on TV. But there was no explanation as to what followed that. No explanation about baptism or repenting of one's sins and receiving God's Holy Spirit. Of course, that knowledge wasn't available to Mr. Graham. And it reminded me of growing up and hearing my grandparents talking about an individual who every July would attend a revival in the local church. And every year he would say, he would quote unquote give his heart to the Lord. But of course, weeks later or days later, he would be back doing the same thing. But we understand that the understanding or the calling of God is not to the world, just to a few people today. And recently, last month, on The View, any of you who may watch that, you probably saw it, one of the hosts was condemning Vice President Pence for saying that he talks to Jesus and Jesus talked to him. This particular host said that it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. And she referred to that as being someone with mental illness. And we know that's not true. But because we live in such a secular society that has denied God and has thrown God under the bus, so to speak, we can expect comments like that. In our world today, many have false concepts of what freedom is, and some feel a sense of freedom for not observing the laws of God, what they look upon as old covenant practices, and that they are free from the law of God. They feel that the burden of God's laws has been lifted, and they are no longer under bondage. They believe that they are free from what is referred to as Jewish ordinances, and that Christ did everything in setting them free from any practice except a like-hearted, love God and fellow man experience. The Bible warns about false promises of freedom. One of those warnings is found in 2 Peter 2, verse 18 through 22. 2 Peter 2, verse 18 through 22. Dealing with false teachers. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world and through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangling them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Verse 22. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have having known it and turned from the holy commandments delivered to them. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible, commenting on verse 20 through 22. A person who has learned about Christ and how to be saved and has been positively influenced by Christians, but then rejects the truth and returns to his or her sins, this person is worse off than before because he or she has rejected the only way out of sin, the only way to salvation. In verse 22 it says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. This is a depiction of someone who once understood God's truth, or at least they appear to understand it, and turn and go back into the world. Any of you who have dogs, you know what a dog does when he regurgitates. It is a despicable sight or disgusting sight. Or if many of you, as I said, I've grown up on the farm, a hog goes and wallows in the mire or the mud. He doesn't know he's nasty or he's dirty. Or we've often heard the expression, the pearl of great price, which is God's word. And if a woman throws a $2,000 pearl necklace to a hog, what is he going to do with it? He's except play with it and destroy it. He doesn't know that that has any value. So God's word is precious, and we must hold on to it and not let it slip away. No one argues that Christ didn't come to bring freedom. Luke writes that Jesus traveled in Nazareth. Let's turn over to Luke 4 and we read verse 16 through 19. Luke 4, verse 16 through 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. This is also the place where his teachings was rejected. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he has handed the book of the prophet, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Christ came through to free us from sin through his atoning sacrifice, as Mr. Mooneyham mentioned in his message. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 tells us that Jesus, tells us about Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 and 15. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. As Romans 6:23 states, the wages of sin is death. Christ paid the death penalty for us, freeing us from death, from the death row through his sacrifice. We have been set free. But as Paul wrote, this freedom does not give us license or permission to continue to do the very thing that brought on the death penalty. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:13, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but though love and serve one another. God's calling frees us from wrong spiritual concepts. As we read in Galatians 4, verse 3 through 7, Galatians 4, verse 3 through 7, Galatians 4, verse 3 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. A chapter dealing with walking in unity with God and his way of life. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, I'm reading the wrong book. Sorry. I mean Ephesians instead of Galatians. Verse 3 of Galatians 4. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We, those of us called of God, are called away from superstition, error, bondage, deception, guilt, depravity, ignorance, and a destructive life, from being held captive by Satan and facing eternal death. We are called to liberty in Christ, receiving forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Christ. Now we know the freedom, or have the freedom from guilt, and we have an awareness of the truth of God as a free gift, the hope of eternal life. The Bible does show us that real spiritual freedom has to include, number one, freedom through God's truth. Christ spoke with a group of people who were deceiving themselves into thinking that they were free. We read that in John 8, verse 31 through 33. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 33. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 33. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Let's go down to verse, let's continue reading on verse 34 and 30 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." According to Christ, a person cannot be spiritually free unless he has the truth of God, which is God's word, as John 17:17 says. Here's a quote from Dr. Ward, who often makes this quote in his sermons. He states that over the door of one of the buildings at the college that he attended in Mississippi was these words: "The state has declared that only free men shall be educated." But then Dr. Ward adds that God has declared that only educated men shall be free, meaning educated in God's word. Many in today's world have a Bible in their home, but either they do not read it or cannot comprehend what is written in there. Prior to coming into church, I know that my grandparents had a Bible. We had a Bible in our home. It was not until my father started receiving the correspondent course that he picked it up and started following the correspondent course, and God opened his mind so he could understand what he was reading. And as I said, many do not realize that freedom comes through understanding God's word. And we can look around us today in our world. Next Sunday is one of the holidays that the world observed, Easter. And prior to my coming into having an understanding of God's real life, we look forward to it as kids, at the dyed eggs, et cetera, et cetera. But never realizing that what connection the rabbit had with Easter. We knew where the eggs came from, but other things that we never took the time to think about, as so it is today. The second point, freedom through the Holy Spirit. God's word points out that God's spirit guides us to the truth. That's in John 16 and verse 13. It helps us to understand the scripture. The spiritual understanding is what leads to freedom. We can talk to people who don't understand God's word about God's word, but they will not. You cannot make it understandable unless God opens their mind. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all understand that the Holy Spirit is a precious gift that God grants us based upon repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ and water baptism, and having a willing attitude, a willingness to obey, and the laying on of hands, as Acts 2:38 brings out and Acts 5:32. The third point is freedom through the law of God. All human beings crave freedom. But we can quickly realize that freedom has its price. Someone once said jokingly that absolute freedom is being able to do what you please without considering anyone except your spouse, your kids, the company, the boss, neighbors, and friends, the police, the government, the doctor, and the church. So you don't have freedom. In a human society, chaos results if we consider just our own interests. We can see that happening around us in the world, or even in the United States in many cases. But laws are necessary to grant the freedom that we crave. We got to have laws to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Without that, you have chaos. Psalms 119 has a beautiful tribute to the freedoms that comes through obedience to God's law. Let's turn over to Psalms 119. We read verse 44 and 45. Psalms 119. Verse 44 and 45. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. James calls God's law a law of liberty in James 1 and verse 25. And he continues in the next chapter of James chapter 2 and verse 12. 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 So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Liberty is not a license to do whatever you want to. Quoting from Mr. Fred Whitlock, a message he gave last July, freedom doesn't mean that you can do anything you want to do. Rather, there are still lawful requirements that must be maintained by those who are granted freedom. Liberty does not nullify godly moral principles. Rather, liberty gives us the opportunity to love and to serve. No person can consider themselves as being truly free if he or she are a slave to lusts of the flesh. Let's read Romans 6 and verse 16 and 18. Romans chapter 6, dealing with who you serve. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 through 18. Verse 16 of Romans 6. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart and that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. As I said, freedom does not give us the right to do as we please, and especially those of the household of God. But also, freedom comes with a price. It can be rather expensive. In our world today, many times there are references made to armaments as the arsenal of freedom. Many times, when we hear men getting killed in battle, they make the comment that this individual paid the ultimate price. And Memorial Day is usually dedicated to paying respect to those who have died, given their lives fighting for our country. But those physical considerations, as I stated above, we should not spend a lot of some time thinking about the spiritual implications as well. Jesus came to the earth to grant people freedom, but not political freedom. He came down to this earth and lived his life to preach the gospel, and then gave his life to free us from the bondage of sin. Let's turn over to Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. Freedom is not free, as I said previously. The price of obtaining our freedom was the very life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's turn over to Romans 5 and reread verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 14 tells us, Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkle the unclean sacrifice, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Serving God is a very high price, and it is the highest price or highest freedom. Satan has deceived the whole world, and except for a very handful of people whom God has chosen. Whether an individual profess a belief in Christ or follow a non-Christian religion, or he is an atheist, none of them really has a choice. They are blinded from seeing the full truth of God, and they do not properly understand God's wonderful plan of salvation as laid out through his holy days, as we are fast approaching. And they do not follow the moral requirements established in Scripture that enables mankind to have fellowship with God. We, on the other hand, understand and therefore are the only ones free to make the choice to serve God, because our minds have been opened to his way of life. The nation of ancient Israel is a physical counterpart to the spiritual nation that God is creating. Let's look at the choice that the Almighty God gave to the physical Israel, which was not made to the Gentile nation at that time. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We read verse 15 and 16. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 and 16. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Verse 16. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. We, those of us who understand God's way of life, have been delivered from the bondage of sin, symbolized by the slavery in Egypt. But we are now free and therefore able to serve God instead of Satan. As Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2 tells us, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that we are to become living sacrifices. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect conformity to the will of God is complete liberty. Serving the living God is genuine freedom. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 2. We read verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter 2. Verse 15 and 16. Verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bound servants of God. Some unmistakably claim religious freedom through Christ while denigrating his law and refusing to submit to it. Jesus Christ, as the perfect example of freedom, cannot come apart from, but must come from the harmony with God's, being in harmony with God's commandments. As Christ asked in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Also in Matthew 19 and verse 17, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Loving obedience to God's law is not an effort to obtain salvation by works, but a heartfelt response to want to serve and please the living God, who gave his spiritual laws for our well-being. It is not a matter of what is convenient, but it is important what pleases God. It is somewhat of an irony that as we gain freedom through Christ, we become slaves, as stated in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22. For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Ultimately, true freedom comes through the resurrection at Christ's return. As Paul explains in Romans 8 and verse 21, Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In conclusion, true spiritual freedom is, number one, freedom through God's truth. Number two, freedom through the Holy Spirit. And number three, freedom through the keeping of the law of God. And also, serving God is the highest form of